With that, we're going to wrap up part one of today's edition of The Morning Magazine. The Morning Magazine, as always, is brought to you by Riverview Medical Center. With you, it's personal and Comfort Air.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids. I'm with Carrie Hildebrandt from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Carrie, energy costs today are on a lot of people's minds. What can you convey to your customers who may have reservations about purchasing a new furnace or air conditioner?
What kind of thought? Do you want to keep putting money into your old furnace that's maybe giving you 50% out of every dollar that you put in it? Or go to a Bryant modulating furnace that's 97% efficient, keeps you comfortable, as well as saves you a little bit of money?
What does the slogan really stand for Bryant, and what does it really mean?
Well, Bryant, whatever it takes means we'll do whatever it takes to keep our customers comfortable. Whether their furnace is going out in the middle of the night, we'll be there when they need us. We have people on call 24 hours a day, whatever it takes.
You really pride yourself in customer service.
We try as hard as we can. Can't say we never make a mistake, but we give it our best shot.
And how do people get a hold of you, Carrie, to say get the ball rolling?
We make it as easy as possible. You can get us at 325-3969 for Stevens Point area, 342-0911, or just visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we could still see some lingering snow showers, otherwise a mostly cloudy sky with northwest winds. Temperatures will be in the middle teens. Tonight, starting off partly cloudy, and then we'll have increasing clouds through the overnight with snow developing through the overnight. Northwest winds 5 to 15 as our lows drop to 2 above. Saturday, cloudy with snow throughout the day, 1 to 2 inches possible. South winds 10 to 20, highs in the upper teens. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Right now, there are some light snow and flurries across central Wisconsin. It's 16 in Wausau, 13 in Marshfield, 13 in Point, and flurries in 15 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Fry. Your local investment professionals can be found by calling 715-422-0700. And with that, we welcome Pete Fry and our topic today, Professor. A look at what to expect in 2014 and some of the factors that may be influencing the markets this year. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
So, you know, the market got off to a little bit of a slow start, and now it's been picking up steam of late. What can we make of what the way the market has been performing so far?
Well, I'm not sure you can put a whole bunch of credence in a bear or a bull case at this point. It's still early, obviously. You know, there's economic factors, and then there's, you know, tax factors and things like that. And, you know, if you had a really good year, which I would guess the majority of people who had equity exposure did, and you were in December, and every day the market was going up, you were probably inclined to take the risk of waiting to the new year to sell, because if you have capital gains, if you sell in December of 2013, your money is due in April of 2014.
Uh-huh, okay.
And if you sell in January, it's due in April of 2015. And so, well, a lot of that was people pushing sales into the next year to rebalance their portfolios and things like that. So I think what's going on now and over the next couple weeks will be the market's reaction to companies, its earnings season. So they're reporting every day of, you know, what the earnings for the fourth quarter were and giving some kind of projections of looking out into 2014. And so what we've seen this week is when certain companies have reported and they've been good or better than expected, we've had a couple really good days. When we've had some disappointment, we've had a little sell-off. And so, you know, that's why it gets into our topic today, which is basically, you know, what kind of factors are going to influence what returns we get this year.
Okay. One of those factors is the Fed's announcement that they will be tapering buying those bonds that they've been buying.
Yeah. And, you know, this is significant for several reasons. There's no history. We've never been in this position. And so Everyone is speculating, you know, what is going to happen and things like that. So just to give you a little background on this, last year they bought $85 billion in bonds, all right, a month.
Wow.
All right, so that comes out to about $1 trillion in for the year. Well, of the purchase they made, some went to U.S. Treasury, some went to mortgages. On the Treasury market, they essentially bought 70% of all the Treasuries that were issued last year. And so even though President Obama touts how last year we had the greatest decrease in deficit in the history, what he doesn't tell you is, you know, the deficit on an annual basis for four consecutive years were $1 trillion. Okay. So we took it from $1 trillion down to, I haven't seen the final numbers, but they were projected to be somewhere in the 550 billion range, 600 billion range. So, you know, the deficit for last year came down 400 or 500 billion more than the year before. But because it still was a deficit, it adds to the total deficit.
Okay.
And so more bonds are going to have to be issued going forward. And the point of that little background is if the feds were 70% of those purchases and they're going to stop doing that, someone, some country, some entity, some collective, a combination of all these different things have to come in to buy the bonds so we can pay our debt.
Right.
Well, in simple supply and demand, the question of this whole comes down to how much interest rates are going to go up to be attractive enough for outside other entities to come in and buy that 70% plus the new bonds in the marketplace. So, and the initial test drive of this was in June of last year when the feds came out and said we're going to stop pretty soon buying all these bonds.
Mm-hmm, right.
And in June the 10-year treasury was about 1.6%. By August it went to 3%. Now, historically 3% is still relatively low, but the magnitude of that move, you know, it almost doubled.
Right.
And so as we go forward, you know, at Buena Vista, you know, we're concerned about how high rates will go because they'll reach a point, and, you know, history has said, you know, 5% kind of is where the economy still can function. But you get over that, then you all of a sudden, you know, are you going to have 0% financing for cars? You know, what is car financing going to be? Mortgage rates, where are the mortgage rates? You know, two of the major drivers that we've talked about in the past of driving good economic numbers.
Okay, and then I would also imagine will affect savings rates.
But that's going to be a positive.
Yeah.
Because you think about a group has been abused more than the senior retired people.
Right.
All right. Because the common theory in investment was, well, when you retire, you need to have the majority of your money in CDs and money market and bonds and relatively safe. Your principal really isn't at risk type of things. Well, you know, if you were conservative and decided to do 100% of your investments in those type of things, last 5 years, you basically made no money. I mean, you, with interest rates between zero and the 5 year treasury is probably 1.5, mm-hmm. give or take today, 1.75. And being taxable, you know, if you're in a 20% tax bracket, that you lose another 0.4% there. If rates go higher and saving rates go higher, I think that'll give a boost to the economy, because the senior group in particular won't be worried about spending their principal and bringing their principal down. They'll be able to use their interest to make purchases.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at among the items that may be affecting our economy in 2014, Obamacare. What effect on the consumer will it have? Will business use their cash? The federal government, is the so-called truce temporary, or will we have more gridlock? And we'll take a look at some worldwide things that might be affecting us in 2014. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Back with more right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
The coach shouting orders from the sideline. The players giving it all they've got.
The drive runs in. The press charge is called. And Press gets there offensively.
The student section shaking the roof off the arena.
That's off a three from straight away.
This is Badger basketball on the Badger Sports Network.
The Badgers take on Michigan Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. Brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm and AF Motors.
This is Matt LePay. Catch all the Badger games right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this week, we could still see some lingering snow showers, otherwise a mostly cloudy sky with northwest winds. Temperatures will be in the middle teens. Tonight, starting out partly cloudy, and then we'll have increasing clouds through the overnight with snow developing through the overnight. Northwest winds 5 to 15 as our lows drop to 2 above. Saturday, cloudy with snow throughout the day, 1 to 2 inches possible. South winds 10 to 20 and highs in the upper teens. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg
Tatro. And 15. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Okay, Pete, let's move on to our topic about what to look for in 2014. The Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. What is that going to do to the consumer?
Well, you know, one of my concerns based on personal experience and talking to people is that the individual responsibility and people signing up means almost across the board people are paying more for premiums. All right.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they now have higher deductibles, and so you know, someone was telling me, you know, last year they paid about $8,000 in premiums. This year they're going to pay $13,500 in premiums. Last year, their maximum out-of-pocket was $12,500. This year, it's $21,000, mm-hmm. right? And so when you start looking at those numbers, those are big numbers. And you know, if you've got to pay, you have a year where you got to pay the maximum, you know, that's another $6,000, and your premium went up $5,000. That's $11,000. Dollars, which means that's almost $20,000 in taxable income you have to make to generate $11,000. And so if you're in a profession where you have the ability to get year-end bonuses and you've got, you know, upside of some sort versus just a straight salary, you know, it may not be quite as big an adjustment. But for those people with salaries, you know, I've heard that one of the local businesses, their deductibles are up to $4,000, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if that's the case, and you got to pay for your health care, obviously, and you got to pay the premiums, you know, does that mean you go out to eat less? You don't go travel, so you hotels and airlines and rental cars and things like that on a bigger purchase? Or for you, does that mean the relocation, the new house, new car, those type of things? So I do think that that is a particular concern, and consequently, the only really consumer-related things that we're looking at Buena Vista are more in the drugstore kind of need type things that, you know, you're not necessarily going to overlook, and not the restaurants, not the hotels, not the airlines, those type of things.
Well, it was already said this past Christmas season, and it said especially with the middle class, the basic consumer, they didn't spend like a lot of people thought they would this past Christmas season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, uncertainty is a very bad thing for the economy. You know,
right.
Because if you don't know what your expenditures, your budgets, those type of things are, unlike the government, you know, most people have a budget, and they know what they can spend. They know what's coming in, and it obviously isn't a perfect science, because we all have things that come out of the blue, and you got to write a check to get it fixed or do it or stuff like that. So, but I do think there is there's some of that in that, again, what we're seeing, and one of the bigger issues that maybe at some other show we'll talk about, is that, you know, if you didn't have money in the market last year, it didn't matter if the market went up 30%. If you did, you're feeling better about your portfolio, you're feeling better about your net worth, and you're willing to spend a little more. So you're starting to see the stores on the bottom end. You know, Dollar Store had a kind of a blip, Family Dollar, Walmart had a little. You know, those didn't do as good as the Tiffany's and the higher end ones, which kind of reflects that situation there. And so part of it is we still have got a lot of unemployment. You know, the one of the crazy things is they keep pushing the unemployment down, but it isn't because more people are being, it's because more people are being frustrated and just taking themselves off the roll. You know, unemployment, they're in the midst of trying to negotiate another extension, but, you know, if you're not on unemployment, you know, you get lost. So I think that explains some of that.
And there was also an article just this week in the money section of the USA Today, how more and more baby boomers are just retiring earlier.
Yeah, which is an interesting deal, because obviously, you know, in Wisconsin, as an example, if we want to talk a little bit about it, is that in lieu of the history of what's gone on with the teachers and since Governor Walker's been in, you know, a lot of the teachers are saying, you know, boom, I'm going to grab what I know I got right now before something else happens. You know, I'm in for 30 years or I'm in whatever. And so, you know, I'll grab what I got, make sure I've got it, and move on to something else. The interesting bigger concept there is, again, if you've put in 30 years, you get out of college, let's say 22, 23, you got 30 years. If you're 55 to 60, you know, the life tables say you could live easily, you know, 82, I think, is the average lifespan, 27 or 20 to 30 years. So if you retire at 55 to 60, you still have 50% of your life to live.
And what are you going to do with it?
Well, exactly. And so what you think might be a number that, all right, I can pay my bills and I can live like this, you know, all you got to do is think of about a couple things for someone who's going to be 59 this year. I mean, you know, what did your first car cost when you were 18 or 20 years old?
Right.
All right. What was your last car cost? My guess is, you know, you could have gotten a beater for under $1,000
or
$1,500. Now, you know, even used cars, you can't get a really good used car for you know, $7,000 to $15,000,
right,
you know, much less a new car, which is easily $20,000 or above, $15,000 to $30,000. You know, in your first house, you know, you might have been $25,000, $30,000. Right now, the medium price of a house in certain areas are six figures.
Okay, let's move on to another question. Will businesses use their cash? They're sitting on a lot of cash. Will they start investing that, creating jobs, expanding, etc.?
You know, we feel strongly, and I think if you, for those who have listened to us over the last year, talking about manufacturing, talking about the renaissance of that particular industry due to the energy, you know, it's been 5 years now. There's trillions of dollars in money market getting 0%. All right. And 0% when you're trying as a CEO or a CFO or someone to get a return on investment is pretty hard because it drags the averages down. So I do believe that this is the year we're going to start to see capital expenditures, building a new manufacturing, that type of thing to utilize that cash. And if they don't utilize it in that way, what's going on in the market, the Carl Icahns of the world and several of the other guys, but he's probably the most notable name, are looking at these companies and going, you're not a bank, right? If you're not going to use that cash and you're getting 0% on it, you should minimally give it back to your investors, your shareholders. So we continue to see dividend raises, and we continue to see stock buybacks. So in those three ways, whether it's capital expenditures, which you can only delay upgrading your technology so long, you can only delay upgrading your machinery so long. So you got that, and then the other two more stock-related things. So we think that'll be a positive, especially for those companies, but for the economy, that maybe will offset some of the consumer issues.
And overlooking this is this big monster called the federal government. And the question is this the temporary truce, or are we going to eventually be heading back toward gridlock?
Well, you know, the beauty of elections, which to 2014 is an election year for a third of the Senate and obviously all the House. You've got to be careful what you do and don't and how what you say and things like that. So, you know, I think what you'll see, and again, it's always the subject to the right extreme or the left extreme, but I think we're going to see nothing done. You're going to do what, you know, they're going to raise the debt ceiling. Hopefully this is not this dramatic, long drawn out, and oh my God, the Lone Ranger rides in at the last minute and saves the day, which we've seen several times now. But I don't think there will be anything major, because no one wants to run on or vote that if it's controversial. And so, I think that's maybe a little different in gridlock, but the thing about Congress is not doing anything is, if you look at the two best presidential tenures in terms of the advance of the stock market, Clinton and Obama is one and two. And I don't know who's one and two anymore, because our market continues. But if you think about the common thread in that, is that, you know, in the latter part of both their second terms, basically nothing got done. You know, there really wasn't any major. And so by not constantly changing the rules, business had some confidence, and they were able to just do their thing because they knew what the rules were. So, you know, there's a fine line. Certain things have to be decided, but a lot of things by continuing tweaking and changing is disruptive.
And then we have the rest of the world, other economies. Are we going to see hot spots in the world? Are we going to have, is there going to be war with Iran? All these different things could also have a big impact.
Absolutely. I think let's just kind of separate the two just for logical purposes. The economies of the world is kind of what makes us overly bullish on the economics. Europe is stabilized. Okay. Europe is starting to turn. Again, they're not doing 3 or 4% growth, but we see them starting to do growth. Their Federal Reserve has basically said, hey, we're there. We're going to make sure everything stays. We don't want disinflation. So you're going to have low rates. Confidence is building. A lot of the programs put in by the governments, austere type programs, they're, you know, that's kind of wearing off. So, you know, they're now promoting more on the revenue side. So we think Europe's good. Japan's basically doing the same thing. They're going to be a big exporter. China has made a transition, but again, you know, China gets bashed, but again, we're looking at probably them doing 7% growth again this year. And, you know, as a perspective, you know, we may do 3 to 3.5 in the United States. So, you know, speak for itself. So we think because of all that, that basically that'll help the world economy. All right. Yeah. Now let's jump over to the more unpredictable but yet more dangerous part of it. And again, we're looking at several places. Right now, mainly the Middle East, between what's going on in Syria and all the craziness there. Egypt's trying to figure it out. Libya's trying to, you know, there's still war, minor wars going on. We're dying. You know, the whole Iran thing where we tried to get a truce and, you know, there's actually a bill in the Senate with 59 yes votes to squash that and redo in sanctions. You've got North Korea and, you know, this guy kills his uncle. I mean, so he obviously, you know, he embraces Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, kills, that's
kills
great.
Kills his uncle. So, but, you know, all those, you know, it's interesting. And well, obviously the Middle East, even though we are becoming more energy self-dependent, you know, the world, the Chinas and Asian countries and all that are really dependent on the Mideast. And if Iran, everything's cool with Iran, we're going to get a lot more oil in the market. The world will be good. If Syria and Iraq and Iran turns into craziness and they, you know, that fuel is not distributed to where it goes, that's going to drive oil prices up and that'll have a negative effect. So those are the things we're watching. Obviously, it'd be excellent to have a crystal ball as we'd all be rich. But, you know, at least being able to identify what you should be doing, what the potential trends could be and the consequences gives you a ability to kind of make educated guess and just not, well, we should sell it all and put it back in the can in the backyard.
And I guess we'll wrap up. Is there any area or hot areas right now that you, from Buena Vista's perspective, that people should be putting their money in or looking seriously at?
Yeah, well, I think because of our run-up, you know, we're up about 170-ish percent since March of 9. We haven't had a correction for 2 years. You know, I think taking some of your profits out of the U.S. and maybe distributing them to Europe or Asia or something to because their markets haven't performed nearly as good as ours is in a general rotation of that. So we like that. In particular, I think it's more a year of being in the right sectors. And like we've talked about in the last couple of shows, manufacturing, engineering, technology are going to benefit probably the most from what's going on. Technology should get, you know, as we continue to get new things going on, but people got to get computers, we've got to get notepads and all that good stuff. Technology should benefit, and energy is what's going on here in the United States. We continue to find more wells, and that has a corollary to creating jobs, which creates ability to spend money. So we like those three particular industries.
Okay. Well, it will be an interesting year, and hopefully we have helped you folks, the investor, or just a citizen who wants to know what's going on with the economy. We've enlightened you a little bit on some of the things to look out for. In the meantime, go Bucky tomorrow against Michigan.
Big game, yep. We need to win that one because the next two at Minnesota and at Purdue are not places we've necessarily won every time we've gone.
No. Okay, well, Pete, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and everybody at Buena Vista, and let's hope it's a good year.
Great, thank you.
And that's going to wrap up this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Remember, their number is 715-422-0700. And with that, we're going to wrap up the Morning Magazine. Coming up next, CBS will cover the world, and then Bob is back with Over the Back Fence. I will rejoin you at 12:06 with the Noon Report. Plenty of information for your lunch hour. And remember, we'll have that special interview with the new manager of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. That's all coming up during the noon hour right here on AM 1320.
It's always a good day.